بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, the Al-Farooq Institute, South Africa, is an institute that was established approximately 6 or 7 years ago. The objective of the institute and the primary mission of this organization is to extol and to praise and to acquaint the Muslim Ummah with the merits and the virtues and the status awarded to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in. One of the ways of achieving this is that annually there is a Jumu'ah that is fixed for this specific topic. A topic is selected and we share certain virtues about the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in with the audience, and the whole objective is so that we become more acquainted with regards to the honor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had awarded them, the dignity that they enjoy, and the love that we should develop for the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in. For they were the students of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if you want to measure the success of a teacher, if you want to measure the success of an institute, the success of a teacher, the success of an institute is measured by the products of that institute. Therefore, when we look at the men and women around Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when we learn of the love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn of the love that they had for Allah, the love that they had for deen, the sacrifice that they had endured for the sake of the upliftment of deen, and so that deen could reach every one of us. When we hear of this, when we learn of it, naturally, we are reminded of the most perfect teacher that they had, because they were the direct recipients and products of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for this year, Al-Farooq Institute has chosen the topic, the unmatched, the unparalleled love that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala had for their master, their teacher, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now when we think of any relationship that's based on love, we should remind ourselves that what are the demands of love? When we claim we love somebody, we claim we have love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, love for Allah, then there are certain demands. Or let us not use the word demands, but maybe we could say that there are certain results that naturally follow, with emphasis on the word naturally. There are certain results that naturally follow that relationship that is based on love. What are the demands of love? When you claim to love Allah, you claim to love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you claim to have love for your parents, you have love for your spouse, you have love for the next Muslim, what are the demands of that love? What does that love demand from you? What are the natural results that follow that relationship that is based on love? The first demand of love is that of respect. To have respect and to have reverence, to revere your beloved, the one with whom you are in love. And of course, the love of Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, as the topic suggests, was unmatched, was completely unparalleled. So let us see in the lives of the Sahaba. There are so many examples of how they had expressed their respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which was a natural result of the love that they had for him. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Madinatul Munawwara, he was hosted by the famous Sahabi Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala an, who had an apartment, he had a home with an upper floor and a lower floor. So he accommodated the Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the lower floor, the lower level. And he and his wife moved up to the upper level of the apartment. And then at night, before going to bed, he realized, and he said to his family, that نَمْشِي فَوْقَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Have you realized that we are walking above, on top of the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He is below us. This is a sign of greatest respect. We should not disrespect Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this way. So what they decided to do, فَتَنَحَّوْا فَبَاتُوا فِي جَانِبٍ. They said, well, we won't sleep directly above Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we will choose such a section of the upper floor to ensure that we are not directly above the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this shows the respect, which was a result of the love that they had for him. In the morning, he mentioned this to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, ya Rasulullah, why don't you occupy the upper level and allow us to occupy the lower level? Because this is my concern. And I really don't want to do that. I don't want to sleep on the upper level because of the respect that I have for you, the reverence that I have for you. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, As-siflu arfaqu bina. Abu Ayyub, guests are going to want to visit me. They are visitors who will want to meet me. It makes more sense and it will be much more convenient for me to remain on the lower level so that I can easily accommodate them, host them and see to them. But he insisted. Abu Ayyub says, ya Rasulullah, I'd rather move out of the house. I cannot master the courage. Really, I cannot master the courage to sleep on the upper floor and to walk on the upper floor knowing you are below me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. And he then moved from the lower floor and occupied the upper floor. Again, we are discussing the unmatched love that Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'in had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we are discussing the demands of love. What are the demands of love? When I claim I love somebody, let me see, am I fulfilling the demands of that love? What are the results that naturally follow a relationship that's based on love? So the first demand of love is that of respect. We cited the example of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There was another sahabi, Urwat ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu. However, when this incident had taken place, he was not yet a Muslim. We know that the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu majma'in, they had undertaken the journey to perform umrah. And they did so with a lot of eagerness. They loved Makkatul Mukarrama, and they saw the opportunity for them to march into Makkatul Mukarrama to go and perform Umrah, not to engage in any war or any fighting of any sort. They wanted to go and fulfill the haqq, the right of Baytullah. And they reached a point, Hudaybiyah. When they arrived in Hudaybiyah, they were barred, they were stopped, they were prevented from entering Makkatul Mukarrama. And this had never happened. No one was ever prevented from entering Makkatul Mukarrama for performing tawaf of Baytullah and of course for fulfilling the Umrah. And when they arrived at Hudaybiyah, they were told that you are not allowed to go any further. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to engage with them in discussions to try and negotiate. They sent negotiators, however, the negotiations were unsuccessful. Then they chose Urwat ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala an. And he was the ambassador of the Quraysh. He was the negotiator. He was the one who traveled to the courts of the emperors of Rome and the emperors of Ethiopia and so on and so forth. So he was the ideal negotiator and ambassador to speak on behalf of the people of Makkatul Mukarramah. Discussions took place and there were some negotiations that were in order. And he went back to Makkatul Mukarramah, he went back to the Quraysh. And then he described to them what he had witnessed while he was there with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions. He says, Ya Qawm, Inni qad wafattu ala al-muluk. Listen, you all know very well, I have visited the kings of Persia. I entered the courts of the emperors of Rome. I have traveled far and wide, but I have never seen the followers and the subjects of a leader respect and revere their leader the way the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had revered him. And then he cited some examples and what he had observed while he was there. He says, Wallahi, مَا يُلْحِدُونَ إِلَيْهِ النَّظْرِ. They do not look him directly in the eyes. Because of the respect that they have for him, they never lift their gazes to look at him. وَمَا يَرْفَعُونَ عِنْدَهُ الصَّوْتِ. When he speaks, they do not raise their voices. Never does any one of them raise his voice while in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَكْفِيهِ إِلَّا أَن يُشِيرَ إِلَىٰ أَمْرٍ فَيُفْعَلْ. He says he only has to indicate towards something and consider it done. That was the level of respect they had for the master and the leader Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَمَا يَتَنَخَّمْ وَمَا يَبْسُقْ إِلَّا وَقَعَتْ فِي يَدَيْ رَجُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ يَمْسَحْ بِهَا جِلْدَهُ. If Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had to spit, the spit would not touch the ground. It fell into the hands of one of his sahaba and he would immediately wipe it all over his body. وَمَا يَتَوَضَّ إِلَّا ازْدَحَمُوا عَلَيْهِ أَيُّهُمْ يَظْفَرُ مِنْهُ بِشَيْءٍ. And if he had to perform wudu, the water would not touch the ground. They would almost fight with one another in order to receive that water from the blessed Mubarak body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and wipe it over their bodies. So the first demand of love is that of respect. A third incident of Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, another great sahabi of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was on his deathbed and he was about to die and his son was seated next to him and he was really, really overcome with sadness and grief. And at that moment, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us, at that moment when a person is leaving the world, you should instill hope in the person's heart. Let the person leave the world with a heart filled with hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now his son saw that he was very sad. So he asked his father and he said to his father, listen, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke so highly of you. You were given this accolade, this good news, this glad tidings from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why are you so sad? What's the reason for you to be so sad when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke so highly about you? So then he turned to his son and said, listen, my son, during my lifetime, I went through three phases. He says, the first phase of my life, لَقَدْ رَأَيْتُنِي وَمَا أَحَدٌ أَشَدَّ بُغْضًا لِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنِّي. He says, a time was in my life that from all the people on the planet of this, on the face of this earth, I hated Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the most. He was the most disliked individual in my sight. And I had the greatest amount of desire to assassinate him. He says, and if I had died then, I would have been from amongst the people of Jahannam. He says, and then came the second phase or stage in my life, when Allah placed within my heart the desire to embrace Islam. He says, the moment that happened, I came before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When I came before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to me, Ubsut yameenak. فَلِأُبَايِعَكْ. I said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, extend your right hand. That was the protocol that was observed. When a person embraced Islam in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had to pledge his allegiance. And he had to, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would extend his hand. He would hold onto the hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and embrace Islam. So he said to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of us would not want to greet the next person, considering the arrival of the COVID-19. The new coronavirus. So that was the protocol that was observed, the shaking of the hand at that time. And what is the ruling? Allow me to digress for a moment. Right, we are witnessing for the first time the arrival, without of course any anticipation, right, the arrival of the new coronavirus. And there are confirmed cases of the virus in our country. What are the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with regards to this? Once Banu Thaqif, a clan, came to Madinatul Munawwara to embrace Islam. and to pledge their allegiance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as we said, there was protocol, and Islam gives a lot of importance to protocol, brothers. You know, there's protocol when you enter into the masjid. There's a protocol. When you go and step before the queen or the king, there are protocols that must be observed. In fact, you are briefed on the protocols. Before you stand the queen, oh, this is how you are going to greet her, and this is how you are going to shake her hand, and this is how you are going to enter her court. When we come into the court of the kings of kings, there's protocol. Step in with the right foot. That's the protocol. Sometimes we take it lightly. Stepping into the masjid with the right foot, leaving with the left foot. That is the protocol that you must observe when you come into the court of the King of Kings. So now, the protocol had to be implemented on this occasion because it was the pledging of allegiance. But there was a man amongst them in the Banu Thaqif. Rasulullah heard of this man. They told him, listen, there's a man here and he has a certain disease. He's carrying a certain disease. Now there has to be physical contact, right? The shaking of the hand. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent a message to that man and he said to him, remain where you are. There's no need for you to come. Consider your pledge as confirmed. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us something. Preventative measure. The person has a virus, he has a disease, although that was a strict protocol that was usually observed. On the occasion when a person embraced Islam, Rasulullah said to the man, you are carrying a disease, you are carrying a virus, we will not shake your hand, but consider your bay'ah, consider your allegiance to be confirmed and accepted. So Amr ibn al-As, we are discussing the demands of love, the unmatched love that the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'een had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the demands of that love, or the results that naturally follow that type of a love. So he says, I went through three stages of my life. We spoke of the first stage of Amr ibn al-As. The second stage, he says, I came and I embraced Rasulullah, Islam at the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stretched out his hand and Amr ibn al-As withdrew his hand. Rasulullah says, what's the matter? You asked me to stretch out my hand and extend the hand and now you are withdrawing your hand. He says, Ya Rasul of Allah, I want to place a condition. What is the condition? I want all my sins to be forgiven. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, all your sins are forgiven. And he embraced Islam. And then he says after that, وَمَا كَانَ أَحَدٌ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He says after that, the second stage in my life, there was no one more beloved to me than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And because of that love that I have for him, look at the result that follow. He says, وَلَا أَجَلْ فِي عَيْنَيَّ مِنْهُ وَمَا كُنْتُ أُطِيقُ أَنْ أَمْلَعَ عَيْنَيَّ مِنْهُ. Out of my respect, which was a result of the love that I had for him, I could never look at him directly in the face. So the first demand of love is that of showing respect. The second demand is the willingness to sacrifice. The willing to sacrifice, I mean, subhanallah, the lives of Sahaba are filled with the sacrifices that they had offered for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Again, that was the demand of their love. And it was natural. That's the important thing. It was a natural result of the love that they had. It was never unnatural. Look at the occasion of Khandaq. Khandaq, the battle of Khandaq. The Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala ajma'een are digging this huge, huge trench. And what are the conditions? The climate is absolutely unsuitable. It's absolutely cold. Hunger has reached unprecedented levels. They are carrying bags of sand on their backs, yet they are chanting out, نَحْنُ الَّذِينَ بَايَعُوا مُحَمَّدًا عَلَى الْجِهَادِ أَبَدًا مَا بَقِينَا. We have pledged our allegiance to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our love for him demands that we will serve the cause of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until we die. Sacrifice. Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on the occasion of Uhud was that occasion in their relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where their love was tested. You enjoy a relationship with somebody based on love, circumstances will come in your relationship in order to test the genuineness and the sincerity of that love that you claim to have for that person. So mashallah, a man gets married and his wife, initially attractive and mashallah, well looking. She bears one child, bears the next child, bears a third child. now not so attractive. Now is when the test or your love is being tested. Or the husband comes into the marriage, he comes into the nikah, mashallah, with all the comforts to offer, and he can fulfill all the demands of his new bride. But then the time comes where he has a financial setback and he can no longer fulfill those demands that he has been fulfilling all the while. That is when now the love is being tested. So Uhud was that occasion when the genuineness of their love was tested. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was under attack and arrows were being shot towards the Mubarak and blessed body of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Talha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he stood in front of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah, you remain behind me. I will take the arrows for you on my body. Nahri duna nahri. Let me present my neck. You don't present your neck. Sacrifice. Naturally, he could have fled the battlefield. He could have fled the scene. But his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam drove him to sacrifice his own life for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was wounded and metal pieces from the helmet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was lodged into the cheek of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, he wants to now exhibit his love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What does he do? He tries to pull out those metal pieces from the cheeks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his fingers, but he couldn't do so. What did he do? He holds onto it with his teeth and he bites it off. He loses one tooth. He goes onto the other side and he loses another tooth because of that exhibition of the love that they showed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the second demand of love is that one is ready to sacrifice. Offer sacrifices for the sake of the beloved, which the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'een did throughout their lives. Then the third demand of love is the willingness, not only the willingness, but the eagerness to forgo and to abandon your preference for the sake of the preference of your beloved. We go back to the incident of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, while he was hosting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he would prepare meals for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was there. So whenever the dish would come back down to Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he would ask the servant, tell me where Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had put his fingers, and he would lick that area and eat from that very place. And once he sent a dish, and in the dish there was some garlic. And he prepared the dish, he sent it up, the dish comes back down, nothing was eaten. He became concerned, and he immediately went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah, is garlic haram? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, it's not haram, but it's not my preference. I don't like garlic. He says, from that day, O Nabi of Allah, you hate it, I hate it. To hate what is disliked by the beloved, to love what is beloved to the beloved. That's another demand of love. Let's go to the plague of Amwas. The plague of Amwas was the first plague, the first outbreak of a disease in Islam. It happened approximately 11 years after the demise of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the land of Jerusalem. The Muslim armies were in the land of Jerusalem in a city called Amwas, and a plague broke out in that city. Up to 50,000 Muslims lost their lives, including Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah. We spoke about him. The one who had used his teeth to dislodge those links that were stuck into the head of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mu'adh ibn Jabal, regarding whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ya Mu'adh, wallahi inni uhibbuk. Oh Mu'adh, Allah's qasam, I love you. These two great Sahaba lost their lives because of that plague, the outbreak of that disease in that region, in that area. Of course, the first plague and the first outbreak of a disease that struck planet Earth happened thousands of years ago in the time of Musa alayhi salam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks of it. You can check it up under the commentary of the verse. فَبَدَّلَ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا قَوْلًا غَيْرَ الَّذِي قِيلَ لَهُمْ فَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا رِجْزًا. There Allah speaks of the virus, the disease that struck planet Earth for the first time as a rizz that came upon the Banu Israel in the time of Musa alayhi salam. Now Umar radiallahu ta'ala had a great desire to visit Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah because he wanted to see the beauty of the land of Sham. He was always told of the beauty of the land of Sham. So he really wanted to go and visit. However, he reached a certain point. They said, Umar, there's an outbreak of a disease over there. What do we do? Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, after consulting the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala majma'een, heard a hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when there's an outbreak of a disease in a certain area, in a certain region, do not ever travel to that region. Don't ever travel to that region. When he heard of that, he decided not to go. Preference is given to the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam over your own desires, over your own likes, over your own wants. That is another demand of love. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that if there's an outbreak of a disease in that region, do not leave that region. Now, of course, we are all, I'll end on this, all familiar with the fact that there is now a confirmed case of the COVID-19, the coronavirus here in South Africa. What should our attitude be? Number one, we do not resort to panic. And we do not become afraid. And we do not allow ourselves to be overcome with anxiety and distress and worry. لا تخافي ولا تحزني. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the mother of Musa alayhi salam, as she was releasing him into the river Nile, لا تخافي, don't become overcome with fear and overcome with grief and sorrow. So we do not panic. Yes, much has been disrupted. I mean, around the world, globally, there are disruptions. Many of us perhaps have planned to travel to Makkah al-Mukarramah to carry out the Umrah for Ziyarah. Our plans have been disrupted. Right, studies have been disrupted, conferences have been cancelled, universities have been closed. All these disruptions teach us one thing, Allah is in control. Wallahu ghalibun ala amri. Allah is in charge and in control of every matter and affair. You plan, Allah plans. Sometimes your plan and the plan of Allah has the same outcome. Sometimes Allah has a different plan. When things do not go according to your plan and things are disrupted, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلْ. This is what Allah had decided, Allah can do as He pleased. So that's the first thing. The other thing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us in the ahadith is, of course, there are treasures of du'as. We don't have the time to go through the du'as. But there are also other spiritual guidelines that we need to encourage one another to do and try and fulfill it. First is istighfar, the recitation of istighfar. Every night, and this should be not only during the outbreak of a disease or an epidemic, make this a habit in your home where you sit down with your wife, the kids and the family. Call this quality family time, ibadah time for the family, recitation of astaghfirullah. Recitation of astaghfirullah. Number two, sadaqah. As-sadaqatu tadfa'u al-bala. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, every charity repels any illness, any disease, any calamity. And lastly, we should recite the du'as of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll conclude on one du'a. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, recite this du'a thrice in the morning, thrice in the evening. No harm will come to you. No harm will come to your wealth, to your body. Bismillah alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama' wa huwa as-sami'ul alim. Recite this du'a thrice in the morning, thrice in the evening. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will keep you protected. So the unmatched love, why do we refer to the love of Sahaba as the unmatched love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the unparalleled love that they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because the love that they had for him contained all the necessary ingredients of love. The love that they had for him fulfilled the demands of love. They had the utmost respect for him, the willingness, the eagerness to sacrifice for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also the eagerness to sacrifice their own desires so that it conforms with the desires and wishes of their master sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah grant us the understanding.